Many years have passed and everyone's getting mad?
Huh? What do you mean?
I mean, everyone's getting Monsignor Achilles Dakai. His weekly Bible study is getting bigger, better, and stronger.
This is the new and improved Gifted to Give podcast.
Hi, I'm Gian.
And I'm Jillian.
We are here to spend quality time as we listen to the message of God through our beloved Monsignor Achilles Dakai, a Bible study that is truly gifted to give and a gateway evangelization to all those who are spiritually drained.
Absolutely. Monsignor Dakai was the official spokesman of His Eminence Ricardo Cardinal Vidal. He had the title of Media Liaison. He is almost 90 years old and still passionate about preaching the Bible.
Yes, he loves to reach out to a new and younger audience in making this podcast. Truly, he is gifted to give. Let's listen to a new episode with Monsignor Achilles Dakai.
Together we say, thank God it's Friday. The last Friday of Lent, this leap year 2024. And so I say good morning to all of you, wherever you may be. And let us together pray, first of all. Almighty Father, send your Holy Spirit upon us, that we may read your word with faith, reflect on it with hope, and realize it with love. Following the example of your only begotten Son, from whom we find freedom, fulfillment, and the future with you forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So here we are once more. I hope you are comfortably seated in your corner as I am in mine. At once we say here at the very beginning that on every Friday at this hour we study or continue to study the mysteries of the Rosary, this time the glorious mystery, and in particular the third glorious mystery, the descent of the Holy Spirit. We shall study this, and then we shall also highlight some points that we may drive home when we read the passion story or narrative of our Lord as recorded this year by Mark chapter 15. So we go now to the mystery that we are trying to study and understand. The descent of the Holy Spirit, of course, is recorded in the Synoptic Gospels, the three of them. But more detailed, the narrative written by Saint Luke, who was a painter and a physician, so very concerned with details. Let us now go straight to what Saint Luke, in his second or in his first book, Saint Luke, but also in the same Saint Luke who has written the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, 1 to 11. So let us now open our own Bibles or listen to the reading of the Gospel for this glorious mystery, the descent of the Holy Spirit.
When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya, belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God."
Thank you. Thank you very much for reading for us very clearly the narrative by Saint Mark of what happened on that day. The Jews were in Jerusalem at the temple, of course. They were gathered together. As a matter of fact, they were seated. It was the day of Pentecost. Pentecost, penta means five, or means 50. The first 50 days that we commemorate are those spent by Moses on Mount Sinai when he received from God the two tablets containing the Ten Commandments. Secondly, 50 days, Pentecost, were celebrated by the Jews because they believe that when seeds are planted, sown on the ground, they bear fruits after 50 days. In other words, Pentecost for them, the agriculturists, was a day of harvest and therefore of thanksgiving. So that was the Pentecost that the Jews were celebrating as a major festival inside the temple in Jerusalem. The day of harvest and the day of the covenant. So what happened on this Pentecost day? Saint Mark says precisely that when the believers, the apostles and the disciples, after 10 days after the ascension, remember, was 40 days after his death. So on the 50th day, called Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, as promised by Jesus that the Father would send, appeared visibly. And the Holy Spirit could be not only seen, but heard. Remember, this audio-visual event happened first on the day Jesus was baptized at the River Jordan. when Jesus was baptized, or after he had gotten out from the water, we are told that the Holy Spirit appeared in bodily form as a dove. And we know that dove is the bird of peace. In bodily form. So, now on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit appeared. Not only he could be seen, but also heard. Audio, visual. Let us see how it was visible, or he made himself visible. We are told that there was a noise, therefore could be heard, like a strong wind. Now, when we were kids, we used to sing, "Who can see the wind? Neither you nor I. But when the leaves keep trembling, the wind is passing by." That's what happened. The Holy Spirit, like a strong wind that could be felt, was blowing and filling the whole house. They were in a house. The Holy Spirit filled the whole house. And there was another visible thing. Tongues of fire were seen lighting on the heads of everyone, of the believers especially. That was the bodily form that the Holy Spirit took, not just as a dove, but as a wind and as fire. The Holy Spirit made the believers, the apostles especially, talk in languages. Now, this could happen this way, that the apostles who were from Galilee, and therefore Jews, and were speaking therefore either Hebrew or Aramaic, they were speaking in their native language, but the foreigners who went to join the Jews to celebrate the Pentecost, they could understand the Aramaic or Hebrew talk of the Jews, of the believers. In other words, they must have understood what they had, what the apostles said in their own languages, and there was an instant translation, as it were, to the foreigners. Or it is true, it can be true, that what the language of the believers then when they were talking was really the languages of the foreigners. So two ways, either the gift of tongues that the disciples used, the language could be their native language or the language of the foreigners. But that is not very important. What is important here is that when all were gathered, believers and non-believers in that place, there was not only one talk, but everybody was talking, inspired or enabled by the Holy Spirit. What for? that in spite of the differences of languages, they were all talking about the great actions or deeds of God. So if there is any talking, either in the native language or in the foreign language, the purpose should be the great deeds of God, in other words, the good news. What therefore was the purpose of all these things? It was therefore the Holy Spirit giving them the power to precisely go to all nations, preach to them whatever I have told you, and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is undeniable. It did happen on Pentecost that the Holy Spirit visibly appeared and audibly appeared. But now in this world and here in this life, the Holy Spirit, this cannot be denied, has also appeared to us when we were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, especially and more especially on when we receive the sacrament of confirmation, when the Holy Spirit, we start to receive the Holy Spirit with His gifts as well as the fruits of these gifts. What therefore happened audibly and visibly on that day of Pentecost now happens to us not anymore audibly and visibly, but that we may hear and see the Holy Spirit with the eyes and the ears of faith. That is how we receive the Holy Spirit when we were baptized and we were confirmed. We cannot deny this. Those of us who have been baptized in the name of the Father and Son of the Holy Spirit and have been confirmed. Baptism, by the way, is administered as soon as possible. But confirmation is administered at the age of 12 or the age of reason. So, we cannot replay what happened on Pentecost Sunday that year. But we can convince ourselves of the presence, the power, and the providence of the Holy Spirit through the sacraments. The Holy Spirit, therefore, promised by Jesus Christ many times as the gift of the Father, we have Him. We not only say at Mass the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, that the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. That's what we say at every Mass. In other words, it is the Holy Spirit that gathers us all. We may be speaking different tongues, different languages, but for the one and only purpose to spread far and wide the good news. Whatever good deed God has done for us. In other words, this Pentecost Sunday celebration of Christians through the years has precisely been called the birthday, the birth month, and the birth year of the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. This is our happy birthday, happy birth month, and happy birth year. Therefore, we should be legitimately be proud to belong to this one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. But then remember, we have been ordered, commanded to go to all nations and preach the good news to everyone. In other words, we may not go to other nations. Just begin at home. That should be your cosmos, your cosmic, your domestic church home. There, try to behave as baptized persons, as confirmed persons. There at home, try to spread the good news. We have said this before, that each one of us has to write a gospel every day. One chapter every day by the words you say and by the deeds you do. So ask yourself at the end of every day, what is the gospel from me, by me, for you? This is the beauty of this celebration. I repeat, we cannot repeat what visibly and audibly happened on that Pentecost day. But if we have strengthened, deepened our faith in the person of the Holy Spirit, His presence, His power, and His providence, then we can all jump with joy, exult as precisely the baptized persons in the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. That is the third glorious mystery of the Rosary, the descent of the Holy Spirit, not only on them audibly and visibly, but also on us as men and women of faith. That so far is what we have tried to understand as to what the Bible says, what Saint Luke has said. Remember, Saint Luke, if you really want description of an event in details, go to Saint Luke. He knows, because he is a painter and a physician. I stop here as far as this Bible study online regarding the third glorious mystery. Now let us look forward to Sunday. Remember, Sunday is the first day of the Holy Week. Sunday, the first day of the Holy Week. Why holy? Because during this week, we men and women of faith are expected to make ourselves holy, so that not only the Semana Santa, maoy mas santa, kundili matag usa nato mas santo o mas santa. How? Precisely by making good use of whatever spiritual exercises the Church has provided for us. The Palm Sunday till the Resurrection. Saint Mark was Gospel of the Lord for Cycle B is read this year. You remember St. Mark, of the three synoptic gospel or evangelists, was the first, the earliest to write about Jesus, and therefore the shortest of all gospels. Why? Because St. Mark was concerned not so much with what Jesus said, but what Jesus did. Actions, deeds. What, therefore, has St. Mark written in his earliest and shortest gospel? We read the so-called Passion of our Lord. It is rather long, but we are allowed to read the shortest form according to Saint Mark. But when we read the gospel short or long, we must do this. Pay attention and affection, not so much to the pains that the Jews made Jesus endure with patience and with humility to obey the Father's will. In other words, when we read through the narrative, the so-called passion means suffering, pay attention not so much to the pains as to the suffering of Jesus. Again, if you have seen the Mel Gibson film on the Passion of Christ, precisely he himself explained it on TV that, yes, the pains that were inflicted on Jesus, the scourging at the pillar, the crowning with thorns, the carrying of the cross, the crucifixion, indeed were very severe. But if you watch, if Jesus reacted to all and every pain that was inflicted on him, in the agony in the garden, he prayed to the Father, "Yes, Father, you may take this cup of suffering from me, but not my will, your will." That's how he reacted to this cup of suffering that he was about to drink on Friday. Then look at what these people, as mentioned in the narrative by Saint Mark, these people did everything just to end, to put to death Jesus Christ. So they were not only nailing him to the cross, not only make him hang on the cross, not only mocking him on the cross, not only insulting him, but remember, Jesus on the cross precisely said to the Father, and this is his first word, "Father, these people who inflict on me pains, Father, be considerate with them, be kind to them, because they do not know what they are doing. They do not know that what they are doing precisely, Father, is what you will, that I suffer greatly. In other words, the passion of Christ, we say at every Mass, he entered into it willingly. Willingly. In other words, voluntarily and freely, he handed himself over to the Jews. Precisely at the Last Supper, when Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "You eat of this, because this bread is my body, which shall be given up," in other words, which shall die for you. "And this chalice, which contains his blood, drink from it. Drink the cup of suffering, because this blood will be poured out," in other words, in death. That's why at Mass, after the consecration, when we say the mystery of faith, every time when we eat this bread and drink this blood, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again. So the death of Jesus, his suffering death, which is the most painful of all pains, is precisely the price of our redemption. By your holy cross, you have redeemed the world. Now, it is interesting to note that in the Gospel of the Passion, by Mark, he has also specified the times. He said it was 9 o'clock that they crucified Jesus. It was at noon that the crucified Jesus saw that darkness has filled the whole earth. And it was at 3 o'clock that the crucified Jesus cried out, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Those are not his words, by the way. Those are the words of a psalmist. He just memorized it, and he meant that, "Lord, in my suffering, in all these pains that I endure with patience, I feel like a child in a room, lighted at first, but when mother makes the child go to sleep, as the child was going to sleep, the mother put out the lights, and it was darkness. And the child cried and shouted, 'Mother, why have you left me?' But mother did not leave him. The mother was right there, only that the child does not see her anymore." That's how Jesus felt. He was so pained and so much suffering greatly. In fact, he summarized that in one word: "I thirst." When a man is thirsty, he is really pained and suffering greatly. Remember, in his short gospel, Mark has only one of the 7 last words, together with Matthew, what we now call the 4th word, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." In English, my God, why have you abandoned me? Yes, only that word, why? Because Mark, as we have said, concentrated, zeroed in on precisely what Jesus did, not so much what he would say. There are seven words that Jesus uttered on the cross. We know this. Three of them are in Luke, one in Matthew and Mark, and three others in John. That's the seven last words. But you may ask, which should come first? Which is the word that Jesus uttered first? We say that the seven last words can be ordered this way. If you look back to his public life and ministry, Jesus was always otherward. He was always thinking and talking about others. That's why his first word on the cross was toward those people who do not even know what they are doing. What they are doing really was in accordance with the will of the Father. Second, he was talking to a good thief who has repented and asked for a souvenir. Remember me, Jesus, when you come to your kingdom. Jesus, other word, he talked to Mary and called him her woman, and John. And he therefore handed Mary to John, and John to Mary. Other word. It was only after those other wordness of Jesus that Jesus tried to talk about himself when he said, I, Lord, my God, why have you abandoned me? I thirst. There is always an order of priorities in Jesus' life and in his death. So that's why, remember, this is not found in Mark. When Jesus, on the way of the cross, was seen by the women of Jerusalem, they wept, they cried, because they thought that Jesus was a sinner carrying his cross. But Jesus said, no, do not cry for me. Cry for yourselves and for your children. You are the sinners. I only take upon me the sins of all. So Jesus was saying, you must therefore weep, you mourn. How did Jesus mourn? How did he weep? Twice. He wept over the death of Lazarus. He wept over the sins of the people of Jerusalem. Otherwardness. That is what we learn from Jesus as narrated by Saint Mark in his earliest and shortest gospel. So here I pause for some of your questions and reflections on this matter before we enter into the Semana Santa. Aron kita usab, mas santo o mas santa. Thank you. morning, Mons.
Good morning.
Isn't it amazing to be talking in different tongues the good news among believers and still understand each other? Even we Cebuanos don't understand each other sometimes. Indeed, we need invoking the Holy Spirit daily. Thanks, Mons.
That's true. That's true. Even if we speak the same language, we may not be communicating with each other. Even with this cell phone, thanks to science and technology, we may misunderstand each other. I have said this again and again. Our life is give and take. That's true. But there are also misgivings and mistakes.
Simons,
hi.
Is it true we only truly receive the Holy Spirit when we can speak in tongues? What are other manifestations so that we can say we are also touched by the Holy Spirit?
We have to look at this with the eyes of faith. I repeat, the audible and visible appearance of the Holy Spirit on that Pentecost day is now with us with our eyes and ears of faith. Remember what Jesus said, "Do this in memory of me." We may not do what Jesus did, but now we do this with faith. This is what we are in. We are in a world, in a life of faith. We must not anymore try to replay the physical event that happened, like baptism. The baptism of Jesus, yes, at the River Jordan, it happened that there was a voice of the Father and the appearance of a dove. But that is past. What we now see with faith, when we are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, Mons.
Hi.
Thank you, Mons. I now have a better appreciation of my baptism and confirmation. I need more the power of the Holy Spirit to combat all my sinful tendency and evil spirits. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Mass, where the Holy Spirit gather us together.
Yes. We say that at every Mass. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, that we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Pray precisely at every Mass for peace and unity. Peace and unity. Dove and Pentecost. Hi.
What's your favorite spiritual exercise? The church has provided us many ways to do it, but I don't know which one to choose.
Actually, there may be many spiritual exercises, but for me, through my years of priestly mission and ministry, nothing like the Holy Mass. For me, the Holy Mass is the center and the circumference of my mission and my ministry.
Mons, for telling us to begin at home. We might not be evangelists to other countries, but I can for sure grow my faith through my family. I can help ensure that future generations of my
bloodline still carry the faith. In Jesus' name, we hope He bless us with generational faith.
That's true. So you may go to another country, speaking another language, but you may hear the same Mass in Japanese, but understand it if you understand it with faith. I repeat, let us enter willingly into the Passion of our Lord as narrated this year by Saint Mark. I repeat, when you hear the Passion narrative read, pay more attention on the suffering of Jesus than on the pains inflicted on Him. Remember, what is redemptive is suffering, not the pains. The pains are inevitable and the suffering is optional. That's what Jesus said, "Lord, Father, not my will, but thine be done." So, we have said enough, and we pray for God's blessing. The Lord be with you. May the Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. On Good Friday, of course, we may not see each other on this Bible study online. So see you the Friday next.
That was an amazing Bible study session. You think so, Jill?
Yes, Monsignor Dakai is truly remarkable. I have learned a lot from his reflections.
Can you share your learnings and takeaways?
Today's gospel reading focuses on the Pentecost. I like how Monsignor highlighted that we continually receive the Holy Spirit today through the sacraments, and especially the Mass. The Pentecost is our church birthday, and it makes me legitimately proud to be Catholic.
That is so true, Jillian. We are reminded that Jesus Christ told Peter that He is the rock. In that rock, He will build His church. So that is a true testament that being Catholic is the church that Christ institutionalized. Let us all remain faithful as we celebrate the Holy Week. Let's continue to fast, go to church, go to confession, and reflect on Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection. We will have our next Bible study after the Holy Week. I would like to thank Monsignor Achilles Dakai for another wonderful episode of the Gifted to Give podcast. I would like to thank my new partner, Jillian, for sharing your reflections and learnings.
Of course, I am so excited to be part of this rebranding of the podcast. I will definitely see you next week for another episode of Gifted to Give podcast.
With Monsignor Achilles Dakai, goodbye and to God be the glory.